website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues each and every day. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion, joining with us on the dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about signs of the times. We're talking about eschatological, theological, prophetic, biblical signs that God gives us in His Word. Now, if we were to cover all of the signs of the times for these last days, we need about 1 week of consistent coverage in order to cover it completely. And still, even at that, would be a little difficult to do so. We're going to be talking about some of the serious, major signs. We'll talk about apostasy. We're going to talk about the pestilences, diseases, wars and rumors of wars. We'll talk about financial collapse and how the Biden administration and the current administrative policies play into the fulfillment of the signs of the times. I pray that you'll stay tuned. We look forward to your discussion on these discussions and the issue of the day, signs of the times. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion as we discuss the issue today, signs of the times. Ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on philosophical rhetoric. We do not base our discussions and decisions and dialogue on some denominational dogma or any political rhetoric. We do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, with Jesus speaking to His disciples, He said, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It is speaking of the Word of God, the truth book. Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the only real truth that we can hang on to, that we can depend upon, is the truth of the Word of God. It'll never fail. God's Word has never had to be changed because it was found to be incorrect. There are no errors in the Scripture, contrary to some popular misunderstanding and mythology. We need to recognize that the Word of God is the final authority. It is the truth book. And yet we find in society today, very much like George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's precisely true in today's society. If you don't believe that, just listen to Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and others. You can go into the marketplace of ideas, whether it's theological, doctrinal, biblical, political, economic, or whatever, and you'll still find those that will debate and deny what you know is truth, and as truth is presented. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem, if I can point to one singularity of the issues, that would be the problem today that we have so many that believe that there's no such thing as the centrality of truth. There are so many today that believe that truth is however you want to make it. They make truth become malleable, that it is vacillating and changeable, and it is not. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, that's the millennial age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Each person determines their own version of truth. This is the reason I go back, ladies and gentlemen, to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, therefore, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that's good, how would you say, schedule for us today. That's a good principle today. It's a good policy and procedure today, is to seek the truth. Tucker Carlson was doing that, I believe. I don't say that I agree with 100% of what he said, but I believe Tucker Carlson was seeking the truth. I believe he was learning the truth. I believe he was presenting the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason Tucker Carlson has been summarily fired from Fox News. Rupert Murdoch hates Tucker Carlson. One article I read this morning says Fox News is, as one writer said, it's the death knell for Fox News by destroying the key anchor that brought on millions of viewers each and every day to the Fox News channel. So what I'm saying is we need to be very, very careful with what is truth. If we stand for truth, Jan Hus says, we need to defend the truth, be willing to defend the truth even to death. And even when he was being burned at the stake, he said, truth shall prevail. And ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be our position and heartbeat today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole at the base of the flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not be surprised. Listen, it ought not to surprise us when day by day we awaken and we hear the news of some other catastrophe, when we day by day we awaken and find some other scheme or plan out of the Biden Oval Office to undermine and tear down the morals and ethics and the values in our nation. It ought not to surprise us, ladies and gentlemen, when we find the rumors of wars on every hand. It ought not to surprise us when we see the churches closing across America and the churches failing to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. It ought not to surprise us. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to embrace it. That doesn't mean that we need to rejoice and celebrate it, but it ought not to surprise us. Why do I say that, ladies and gentlemen? Because the Bible has already warned us of these things that shall take place. If you're driving, don't you dare try. But if you're not driving, pick up your Bible, shake the dust off of it, open it to Matthew chapter 24. We'll look at Matthew 24 in a moment. some of the verses. We can't exegete the entire chapter, but Matthew 24 and 25 is a wonderful, wonderful study of the eschatological future. It links with much of what you find in the book of Daniel, what you find in the book of the Revelation, with what the Lord Jesus said, shall be the signs of the last days. The signs of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major signs of the last days is the falling away. You find that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and following. You find that primarily, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Let me take a moment and read that for our edification so that you'll understand a little better of what we're saying when we talk about some of the signs of the times that we're looking at today. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that is clearly, directly, unmistakably, that in the latter times, some shall depart, that is to go away, fall away, leave from the faith, that's talking about the Christian faith, giving heed, that is attention, to seducing, that word seducing means that is deceiving, leading astray, seducing spirits, and doctrines of demons. The word in the King James is devils. The Greek word is demons. There's not but one devil, the multiplicity of demons. So it's doctrines of demons, that is teachings of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you say, well, what is that saying? What is that meaning? Let me just simply simplify it for us. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major first signs, not the first, but one of the major of the first signs, talks about the departing from the faith. Now, George Barner, about 1 year ago, said we've got about 300,000 churches in America. He said within 18 months, and he's pretty much on target, within 18 months, there'd be one out of five churches closing. He said that means 60,000 churches will close in America in less than 2 years. He said about 18 months. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that across our nation today. It says this, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, talks about the departing from the faith, the giving heed, that is attention, devotion to seducing spirits, that's supernatural demonic spirits, and doctrines of demons. Our churches today, ladies and gentlemen, are closing. The very fact that salt and light, which is what the church is supposed to be, salt is a preservative, light is illuminating, and the very preservative, illuminating factor in America and around the world is being shut out today. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 5, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, the Lord Jesus says, ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth. But it goes on to say, if the salt had lost its savor, that is its saltiness, it has no value except to be tossed out, trodden underfoot. We see the churches today being tossed out and trodden underfoot, if I can use that as a very clear illustration of what I'm saying. That is happening today. We're watching the diminishing power of the church in America. We're watching today the salt and light diminishing rapidly without the foundation. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. This is the fundamental foundation of the last days and the signs, the eschatological prophetic signs that the Lord Jesus gives us in Matthew 24 and 25. The scripture is very, very clear that without the biblical foundation of truth, we cannot survive as a nation. It's an impossibility. And in fact, in Psalms 11:3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations of our nation are being destroyed. It's not a matter of a political party being in charge. It's not a matter of whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans. Now listen carefully. I'm not saying the two of them are equal. I'm not saying the two of them stand for the same principles, the policies, and philosophies, and dogma as the other would be. It's not the case at all. Because I've called the Democratic Party the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Party for years now. And that's exactly what we see. It's undermining, tearing down, and destroying anything that's called morals, ethics, and values. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of a party, Democrat or Republican. It's a matter, ladies and gentlemen, that we're watching a demonic aura that has been set into place, and I believe that it is the last of the last days when we see what's happening from that demonic aura, when we see churches closing, Christians falling by the wayside, and COVID-19 with the lockdowns and saying that churches were not essential, I believe was the trigger that put it on the fast pace. I believe that we were headed there based on the scripture. God's word doesn't make an error. I believe we were already headed there, but I believe the COVID-19 lockdown, the mask mandate, the mandate for the death jabs, I believe that set it in place to exponentially expedite what we see taking place today with the demise of the salt and light in society, the underpinning of our total socio-economic welfare as a nation is being undermined, annihilated, totally destroyed today. So first of all, when we talk about signs of the times, we need to recognize that if the church falters, if the church falls, if the church fails, so goes America. I don't know how I can express that any more clearly, any more poignantly, any more powerfully than that. And we're watching the very thing that's the warp and the woof of society, that is the spiritual values in America being undermined and destroyed. We're going to talk about that in this broadcast today. We're going to talk about the hypothetical if Joe Biden is reelected. I don't think he will be. I don't think, in fact, I'll go into more details a little later in this broadcast. I don't think he'll be the candidate that's in the final run-up for the election. I don't believe Joe Biden will be the Democratic candidate facing off with any Republican candidate running up to the 2024 election. Now, I've said for the past 2 years that Joe Biden will not remain in office. I still say that. And at this point, I say that Joe Biden, hear me, will not be the Democratic candidate in the 2024 election. And we'll get to that point in just a moment. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios right there on microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. If you'd like to hear more, like to have more, if you have more interest in questions that may be asked and answered about eschatological truth, prophetic truth, the signs of the times, love to hear from you. If you'd like to dialogue on the issue or have insight to further cover what we're talking about, wonderful. Give us a call at 904-731-0917. And not just apostasy, ladies and gentlemen, but pestilences, diseases. We have supposedly just gone through a pandemic. I call it the plandemic. I didn't originate that term, but a plandemic. Today we're witnessing the plagues, illnesses, diseases like COVID, polio that's now rearing its head up again. We're watching many formerly felt cured diseases rearing their ugly heads up in America today. I believe it's because we've allowed somewhere between 12 and 15 million illegals to come into America that have not been properly medically treated, that are bringing with them pestilences and diseases that America has never, ever, hear me, ever witnessed, seen, or experienced. I believe we're on the very cusp of watching mega, major, exponential explosion of diseases in America. And it is at the very threshold of seeing it explode today. And I believe it's because of having no southern border and very little on the northern border. Ladies and gentlemen, the COVID-19 was a fiasco. Let me just say this. I am thankful for those that are investigating the origin of COVID-19. But I believe it's a moot question. COVID-19 was released, and as one of the Chinese virologists said, she said it was released purposefully. It came out of the Wuhan bioweapons lab. It's been refuted, debated, and disagreed upon now for 3 years with some major, major, major committee meetings orchestrated by the Republicans in the U.S. House. Questions are being asked, And by the way, it should not surprise you, but Dr. Fauci is now trying to some way extricate himself from the pit of doom because of his role in COVID-19. Dr. Fauci now is admitting, listen, Dr. Fauci is now admitting that the lockdowns were not needed. Hear me. Dr. Anthony Fauci, Sir Anthony Fauci, Emperor Anthony Fauci, know-it-all scientist Anthony Fauci, is now admitting that the lockdowns were not needed. Dr. Fauci is now saying that he feels, and I quote, that the government forced COVID vaccinations were inappropriate. Too much, he said. We are finding today, ladies and gentlemen, as the real facts come out, Fauci is now trying to extricate himself by admitting some of these things that he knew all along, but because he was a bought and paid for puppet by Big Pharma, I'd love to see his financials. I'd love to see his holdings. I'd love to find out what properties where and when he acquired them that he has nationally and perhaps globally. Dr. Anthony Fauci was a puppet for Big Pharma. Dr. Anthony Fauci is responsible for enforcing upon the scientific community the lies that perpetrated the CDC protocol that was responsible for murdering millions of American citizens that died in the hospitals, being tortured to death with remdesivir, which they are just now, listen, they, speaking of scientific community, they're just now admitting that remdesivir will kill you. Yet that was the number one thing on the CDC protocol for the medications for a COVID patient in the hospitals and American medical associations in America. Remdesivir destroys the lungs, the kidneys, the liver, the heart. 71 days, our son was in the hospital in Virginia being tortured to death. Remdesivir was part of the torture. And ladies and gentlemen, we have not seen the last of the pestilences, diseases, that's just now creeping into America, and it will rapidly develop more and more. We're talking about the signs of the times, apostasy, the falling away, taking away the foundation, the warp and the woof are the very fabric that holds America together. We look at, ladies and gentlemen, and understand, I'm looking at an article. I'll read this and we'll take our caller. The article says, scientists, colon, there was no basis. Listen, the article says there was no basis for claiming COVID shots were safe during pregnancies. They're coming out part and part and part and parcel here and there with the admission of the lies. This article says it's dated April the 22nd. There's much known now about COVID-19 shots developed on a hurried scientific timeline during the pandemic. They don't really help like customers were promised. Thousands of deaths are being attributed to the side effects of the COVID vaccination, such as heart attacks, heart diseases in young adults, and much, much, much worse, this writer says. And now physician and biotech consultant in global health, David Bell of the Brownstone Institute, has reviewed the evidence and has concluded there's no evidence, no basis for saying that the vaccines were safe, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't bring back the lives of those that have been murdered because of that. We're talking about pestilences. We're talking about apostasy. We're talking about today the signs of the times. I believe I have Greg on the line. Greg, go with the question or comment, please.
You know, as the last 3 years have rolled out, I was put in what they call Facebook jail dozens and dozens of times. I was being punished, and they said I was a purveyor of disinformation or misinformation, or the fact checkers had indicated that my post had something wrong in it. So I think the tally was 80 some odd times that they punished me in some form or fashion. Now, if you look back over all those, I would challenge you, if you could find these, you'll find that I was right and they were wrong, because I was digging into the information and they were spreading the NIH or the CDC or the WHO talking points. When the NIH and the WHO and the CDC are the largest purveyors of disinformation and misinformation on Earth, how in the world can you point to them and say, well, they're the ones that did the fact check, or your information doesn't match up with theirs? This is sickening and perverse, because we're paying government officials massive amounts of money to lie to us. By the way, I made a misstatement there. The CDC is a three-letter agency. WHO, three-letter international agency. NIH, three-letter domestic agency. Those are agencies. They can't lie. People lie. You have bureaucrats in there that are pulling down six-figure salaries and will be paid with a golden or a platinum parachute the rest of their lives. And you, the taxpayer, we, the taxpayer, are paying them to lie to us. I saw, what's-his-face, the border guy being reamed out by Marjorie Taylor Greene the other day. Mayorkas, she called him a liar. She called him a liar. Now, keep in mind, you can say anything you want on the House or Senate floor and cannot be challenged in any other forum, but you're not allowed to call somebody a liar, even if they are. We've watched individuals from our government paid for with our taxpayer dollars over and over and over lie to us and censor us. Understand, they systematically within these social media outlets, they use government agency orders to justify censoring you and censoring me. They literally stripped us of our First Amendment right to free speech. They stripped agencies of their First Amendment right to the press, freedom of the press. Understand, folks, this is much bigger and much more important than perhaps you thought in the past. This is something that puts the upcoming election in complete jeopardy. You can't have access to the truth. When Google and Apple and Twitter, well, now Twitter looks like doing more free speech. When these social media platforms, I imagine Facebook is still fascist book. When they won't let the word get out on Wu Flu, oh, you can't call it that. Oh, a China virus, you can't call it that. You have to call it COVID. No, I don't have to call it COVID. I'll call it what I want to, all right? The free speech must be allowed to get out. I'd say, folks, if you're on social media today, find some other forum and find it today and abandon this rubbish of Facebook and what's the big one that's been under assault lately, where it rolls all the videos? TikTok. You know, that's been under assault. Granted, you know, that's a Chinese spyware outfit, but their response with the restrict that or whatever the act is, that's it. Government in control of all this stuff. Do you want your government that has lied to you for the past 3 years, do you want them to be in lawful control of your ability to speak freely on a public forum? I don't think so. Not me.
Greg, I want you to know, and I want our listeners to know, you don't have to wonder what you believe, what you think. I'm thankful for your expression of that very clearly and succinctly today. We're delighted that you could join us on this broadcast. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says China is building cyber weapons to hijack all enemy satellites. China is widely considered one of the leading cyber powers in the world. Its government and military have invested heavily in developing and deploying advanced cyber capabilities that can be used both defensive and offensive purposes. Now, making the transition in our signs of the times, we see apostasy, we see the pestilences, the diseases. We know what that's done in ravishing America and the globe. And we see, thirdly, wars and rumors of wars. Do you believe, and we'll take a moment, if you can hang on after the break, we'll take a moment for the news. And then, Greg, I'd love to continue this conversation with you. If you're available, hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute top of the hour news break. Be right back. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A terrorist who had the blood of 13 American service members on his hands, along with scores of Afghans, has been killed. The ISIS mastermind who plotted the suicide bombing at the Kabul airport died in a series of battles between Taliban and ISIS forces earlier in the month. The House could take a vote today on a Republican bill that would raise the government's debt ceiling while also trimming federal spending. House Speaker McCarthy and fellow Republicans advocating the so-called Limit, Save, and Grow Act, as McCarthy urges President Biden to get involved in budget talks with the GOP. Former President Trump could be a no-show in Republican presidential primary debates. Writes on social media, no one checked with him before the first two debates were announced. Wall Street, the Dow down 143 points, and NASDAQ is up 73. More details at srnnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about signs of the times. We're talking about, of course, biblical signs of the times. God gives that to us in the Word of God, the eschatological prophetic future of what to expect. Therefore, we ought not to be surprised. We shouldn't be wringing our hands and worried, but simply, in fact, some do not recognize it as this. I rejoice in seeing it. It is an affirmation that God's Word is rock solid. And if God said it, that settles it. It shall take place just as He said it would. We're in the last of the last days. That's not said in a horrifying fashion. It's said on the basis that when we see all of these things taking place, Luke 21:28 says, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. And that redemption that is spoken of there is talking about the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. That's the next thing on the counter of God. But part of the signs of the times is not only the apostasy, the falling away from the church, that's the body of Christ, defecting the faith, but then the pestilences, that word means diseases, pandemics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anthony Fauci says we're going to have more of them. That's because they're spinning them up in those bioweapons labs that Anthony Fauci has been so thrilled with and involved with for so many years. But wars and rumors of wars. And we have Greg Youngblood with us today. I'm thankful that he could take time to call in for us to have a little dialogue and discussion on this. Greg, thank you for taking time to do so. I know that you're not calling from the southern tip of heaven today. I'm thankful that you're visiting with us in town. And so I'm delighted that you could be here and take a minute. But just before the news break, I talked about a major headline of China building cyber weapons that will knock out our satellites. And they already have supersonic weapons that outpace anything America has, I've been told. Do you think that's a part of the signs of the times of what we see with the wars and rumors of wars? And if you do, Then the second part of that question is that, I'm thinking as I'm saying that, Greg, Mom says sometimes that I'll ask you a question with 5 points in the question, expecting you to answer it.
let me give you a succinct answer to your master's thesis here that has 14 different parts and subparts, and it's all right. We can do that.
But with the China on the move, controlling so many of our third world nations, and now allegiance with Russia, and I've said for over a year now, year and a half, that what we see in the Ukraine is the spark for World War III, and now with China and Russia linking arms in unison together, I believe that we're watching China's ultimate, very near future, dominating the globe. And so as we see that, what are your thoughts? What should our listeners understand as we see these things taking place?
Well, we've got a lot going on. I think the scripture references a very large army crossing the Euphrates, and the Euphrates drying up. We've seen the Euphrates kind of drying up lately. We see China on the move, Russia on the move, and those things ought to, you know, from a governmental standpoint, they ought to concern us. Understand also that the government, factions within the government, that deep state, they want as much control as they could possibly have. And if they can get you petrified, if they can get you scared to death of China and Russia, what kind of authority will you give them over the internet? And that's kind of what they're asking for. The Patriot Act years ago was used as a ruse. It was a backdoor. It was a Trojan horse to get in to the intelligence, the ability to look at your every move, look at your every phone call, your every communication, and as much as they maybe stopped half a dozen, you know, events over the past, you know, 40 years with that, 30 years with that, the reality is that's been used to do great harm. You know, I believe that Patriot Act started the FISA courts, I think. And the FISA courts were used to tap into the Trump campaign. They kept going back to the FISA courts over and over again to re-up these things and to do more harm politically. You've got folks at the head of the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS, the CIA that believe that they should be oligarchs. They should be in control of our culture, of our society. And as much as I think China is out to eat our lunch, and Russia would if it could, you know, eat our lunch, they would if they could spread so much disinformation and chaos. But our own government, bureaucrats within our own government, the deep state within our own government, I believe is far more dangerous than China or Russia ever was. You know, now, again, with this Restrict Act, they want to have their hands on the controls to be able to shut off communication on the internet. That if that doesn't scare you, if that doesn't petrify you as to what's next, I don't know what would. I'm more concerned about that than I am China, and I'm concerned about China. I mean, China shouldn't have been given most favored nation trade status like 40 years ago, and that's been re-upped. The idea was if we trade with China, they won't be so aggressive. If we trade with China, they won't be so anti-Christian. If we trade with China, they won't be so anti-capitalist. They won't be so anti-America. But you know what? We've traded with China for all these decades, and it has made them stronger and more aggressive. So this is truly a double-edged sword. As much as there's great evil there, I believe there's potentially greater evil within the deep state, within the United States.
Absolutely. Greg, hold your thought there just a moment. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over your question or comment, please.
Gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
Doing great. Pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Thank you for taking my call. Historical reference here. Mao Zedong and Stalin in their early years were notorious for purging their military hierarchy, which led to problems with Stalin early part of World War II and with China during the Cultural Revolution. One of the things that China learned after the Korean War, after sending massive numbers of volunteers there, is that their forces were inept. So since then, the Chinese military, along with the Communist Party of China, has adopted a policy where they kind of give their generals a little bit of autonomy. So you actually have their generals releasing press statements in regards to what they're doing and why they're doing it. And even though they are an arm of the Communist Party, they don't have to worry about being purged, because their job now is strictly defeating your foe, whereas that's how the United States is. Our general concept of military in the United States was train how you fight. I don't believe we're doing that now, and the Chinese are excelling at this. And the downside to our Democratic Party over the years has been allowing China to perform corporate espionage to bring their technology up to par with us now.
That's exactly what they've been doing, and we've been asleep at the wheel. Greg, how do you respond to Jim's comments and question?
I'm going to come in there and respond personally. Give me just a second.
He's on the way over. Jim, what I see taking place based on the scripture is that Revelation chapter 9 talks about a 200 million man army, and Daniel chapter 11, beginning with about verse 42, 43, 44, talks about the Antichrist getting a little shaken when rumblings out of the Far East, that's talking about China, is approaching. China will play an integral part in the final days of what I call World War III, which I believe we're entering into on a global basis, even as I speak, what you see taking place in Sudan. I listened to General, what's his name? General Flynn just this past couple of days with a speech said that he believes that we're entering into World War III. And I said to myself, I'm glad that you've heard me, but I believe that's literally what's taking place. Greg, do you have any further comments, thoughts on what Jim has said?
Oh, absolutely. The reality is, as much as we see this aggression on the part of China, and as much as there are real concerns there, understand the Democrats, the leftists in Congress, and your rhinos, your Mitch McConnell types, they're sold out to China. You know, literally, Mitch McConnell is married to it.
That's right.
All right. Understand, folks, they love the cash flows from China. They love the power associated with China. And you point back to Mao Zedong and our current leader there in China, Xi. They have power, the type of power that leftist, fascist, totalitarians in America, that's the kind of power that they want. Understand, AOC, I'm going to pick on her for a second because the girl can't balance a bank statement. But she thinks she should be able to rewrite all of America's economy. They like what's going on in China. They like that when the lockdowns occurred in China with the Wu flu, they welded doors on buildings and locked people in. They allowed people to starve to death. Mm-hmm. They allowed people to horrendous things in China. I mean, as bad as we did things here in America, the huge mess, the fiasco that it was in every leftist dominated city and state. The reality is the level of totalitarianism in China off the charts, and the leftists in America want that for America.
That's exactly it. Jim, thank you so much for your call, for your input, right on target with it. One of the things that I'll touch on before I let you go, and you and Greg can kind of respond to it. What do you think about Joe Biden's video announcement of his reelection? And second part of that question is, do you think that he will be the candidate ultimately facing a Republican candidate in November of 2024?
I will defer to Greg first, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, I heard the announcement. You know, he's going to finish what he started. And I'm thinking, what is he going to finish? What is he going to finish? Is he going to finish destroying our military, destroying our economy, destroying the dollar, destroying border controls, destroying families, destroying businesses? What is he going to finish? What is he going to finish? Has anything under Joseph Biden gotten better than under the first 3 years of Donald Trump? And I say the first 3 years, even though Donald Trump was completely hamstrung with investigation after investigation, the Mueller report, an unsupporting Congress, both under Ryan and under Pelosi, and the constant haranguing and harassment, the first 3 years were pretty good, weren't they? Mm-hmm. And then they unleashed this plague upon us that was done. I'm more and more believing it was done on purpose.
Oh, no question. Because my mind, I have no questions.
Right. I don't believe that given a fair fight that Joe Biden could stand up to a wet paper bag, mm-hmm. much less stand up to Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis. the chaos will continue. Some say the beatings will continue until morale improves. The chaos will continue until we fix this thing. Still, the three boxes, the ballot box, the jury box, and the ammo box, Lord, please do not go to the ammo box, folks. Please don't do that. They're pushing and prodding. They have been for years. As cities were on fire and the left said, oh, these are mostly peaceful protests, they were always warning about violent extremism on the right. I never saw it. Did any call in if you saw any violent extremism on the right? We see violent extremism on the left, but they kept warning about it. You know why? Do you know why they kept warning about it? Because they intended to stoke it. They intended to create it. January 6th was intended for that purpose. Let's not have any security. Let's make sure the National Guard's not here. Let's make sure there's and let's open the doors and let these people in. Let's put 50, 75, 100, 200 FBI undercover and others in the crowd to stoke this thing, and then let's open the doors up and see if maybe we can get them completely destroying the entire cat. Well, no, there were a few people that did stupid things, and they ought to go to jail. But it didn't. I don't think it turned out to be near as large as they wanted it to be. That's why they had to play it up. You know what right. I mean? You had those wranglings. You had those things. Again, there were probably 50 or 100 people that needed to go to jail, needed to spend some time in jail, needed to pay some restitution. But they locked up initially, what was it, 1,200? They want to lock up another 1,200 more?
Right.
Really?
Right.
I mean, this shaman fellow that took a tour, a guided tour by law enforcement, they put that man in jail for 4 years? Really? That's what they would like to do to every single conservative in America. That's why I say they love the fascism. They love the authoritarianism. They love the complete controls in societies like China. They want that for America.
That's where we're headed. Jim, how do you respond to that?
I look at Biden's video as a perfect example of what we've seen from himself and his administration. This man has taken over 300 days of vacation in 2 years of his administration there. He's tired. He had just came back from a short trip overseas. But as I've heard another gentleman who's of newsworthy note say, he's non complos mentis. He has absolutely no abilities whatsoever as far as making a cognitive decision without being prompted or told how or what to say. That whole thing, in my view, was highly scripted there and was just chock full of lies to anybody that had any ability to analyze, you know, outside of the proverbial box. The man's just gone.
No question about it. In fact, when he was running for election the first time, I had several broadcasts listing seven things that he disqualified him. And the seventh thing was he was cognitively depleted. In fact, his handlers should be charged. Susan Rice and others that have been handling him should be charged with senior abuse.
Definitely.
Because that's
abuse
what it's been.
On. Definitely elder abuse going on there.
Yeah.
Have y'all heard that he is he's planning on not having any Democratic debates? Have y'all heard that?
No debates. That's what he said.
So literally we're coming up on the 2024 thing, and he's already headed back into the basement. I mean, I can kind of see that picture, him tumbling down the stairs, because he's tumbled upstairs and downstairs. I feel sorry for the man from that perspective. They shouldn't put the man on getting one of those stair lifters or something to go up into Air Force One. We should not see the President of the United States stumbling up the stairs and down the stairs again. Nonetheless, he's apparently already said he's not going to debate. I mean, as much as, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a whack job on a lot of stuff, he did get the Wu flu vaccine, you know, fake vaccine thing, right? He's out there, but he deserves an ear. If 20-some-odd were running in 2016? Mm-hmm. I think 24, 25 Democrats started that race.
Right.
By the way, it was interesting. Kamala Harris couldn't get 1% or 2%, but she ended up being vice
Less
president.
Less than 1%.
Isn't that crazy? But he's headed back into his basement because he fully expects that the machine that rolled out, that cheated for him every which way you could possibly, is going to roll out for him again. I think Hillary, as much as you see that she's angry, I think she stays angry because she's going, why didn't you do that for me in 2016?
Mm-hmm.
She hoped that the machine would come out for her and suppress votes, come out for her and all of a sudden have broken machines, come out for her and pull the drapes so nobody could see the counting, come out for her and stuff the ballot box, come out for her and set up hundreds of drop boxes around the Fulton County, Atlanta, Georgia area. Those things didn't happen. So Biden's going to go back into his basement and expect the machine to step up to the plate and bat it out of the park. And 81 million votes. But if you believe that that man got 81 million legal, legit individual votes, would you call in and explain that one to me? More votes than any man in human. And he didn't come out of his basement. But Donald Trump, they hated Donald Trump. Well, Donald Trump got more votes than any prior president that was running for re-election. So how'd that happen? I think we had a whole lot of dead people voting. I think we had a whole lot of folks. A friend of mine that's around the Atlanta area said during that election he saw more New York City tags than he had ever seen before in his life. How many New Yorkers were voting in New York and voting in Atlanta and voting in Pennsylvania and voting in Maricopa County? You do understand that's why they want the muddy word. The left is always about having a loosey-goosey election. If you told them, hey, we want to have one day, we want to have paper ballots, we want everybody, when they're done with their paper ballot and they turn it in, dip your finger in indelible ink and walk out the door, and that prevents them from voting again. You can't show up with that ink and vote a second time. We were so interested in making sure that Afghanistan and Iraq had legitimate elections. That's the kind of stuff that was done. Let's make sure the elections are legit. The whole world knows that we have a corrupt election system today. By the way, conservatives, Republicans, Christians, I'm not saying this for you to be encouraged not to vote. You do need to vote. Matter of fact, vote early. I won't say the Democrat, the vote early and vote often. By the way, you can't say
that. I use that term.
No, you can't say things like that. They'll lock you up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you say
that's election interference.
That's election interference. If you say Republicans are, because there's so many people voting, Republicans vote on Tuesday and Democrats vote on Wednesday. They've got this fella on trial right now. They're trying to prosecute him because he promoted that meme on Facebook or Twitter or something. They're trying to put him in jail.
That's right.
You go, that is a joke. Yeah. That is a you people either have no sense of humor or you think that your constituency is actually that stupid. And I want to know which it is.
Both.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you so much for your calling, for your input. I got one final question though before we let you go. I'm looking at the statistical data that I'm told that in 2016, 25% of the votes were by mail-in ballots. In 2022, 47% of the votes were by mail-in ballots.
Go figure.
Do you think that has any, element of theft in it that put Joe Biden in office?
Element of theft? You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, one individual just take one individual there, and he has, let's say he has 500 ballots, just a simple number, and he drops those in a drop box. Now, let's say you have 2,000 or 3,000 of those individuals spread out across 5 key states. Yeah, you could sway an election, and I agree with Greg 100% thoroughly there. Prove to me that all 81 million were valid. Yeah, I'll accept 30 or 40, but 81? Nah.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, it's amazing because when you look at it very carefully, this was not a nationwide phenomenon. There were 6 large, completely democratically controlled jurisdictions in the United States. Fulton County was one of them. Maricopa County, Arizona was another one. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania was another one. Understand, folks, you do not have to, under our system, you do not have to manipulate the vote across the United States. You just have to know how to manipulate really big in 4, 5, or 6 locations in the United States, and that's what we saw take place. That's why they put shields up on the windows and kicked Republican vote counters out. By the way, biblically, evil runs at the side of the just. Biblically, evil likes the darkness. When you put up shields and you kick people out, you're doing that because you know you're doing something wrong. Folks, when you look down at your phone and you glance up and you look over your left shoulder and your right shoulder, you know why you did that? Because you actually know that you're about to look at something wrong. You actually know you're about to do something wrong. These folks knew it. The whole world knew it. What's his face that was the Secretary of State in Georgia, and this touches to the corruption yet again, just before the election. Raffensperger. He waived under a settlement with Stacey Abrams and her lawsuit. He waived the signature validation component of Georgia law. By the way, does one person have the authority to waive a provision in law? I mean, are we a nation of laws or a nation of men? We're a nation of laws. But we have a president of the United States that's chosen to not enforce certain laws and enforce other ones vigorously. And you have that Secretary of State that chose, well, you know what, let's just waive it. Who waives a validation requirement on ballots without some intent or allowance for some fraud? I mean, this is very simple. And when you ask across the United States, the vast majority believe that we ought to have a secure election. The vast majority, I think it's in the high 80s, 87 or 89%, right. Say that we ought to have voter ID. Mm-hmm. And IDing the voter, I mean, that's why you have a signature on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And why in the world did tens of millions of people need to use a mail-in ballot, other than the fact that we had the WHO flu released? We had everybody so hyped up that, I mean, you can't so much as pick up a gas pump handle. You risk getting COVID and dying. I mean, that's how they had us petrified, or they attempted to have us petrified.
That was manipulation of the people.
All the way across the board.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your dialogue and discussion, joining with us today. You have a blessed day. Looking forward to next time we can have dialogue and discussion on some of these issues. Greg, one of the questions that I want us to wrap up on and point to, with Joe Biden jumping into the race, I believe that Joe Biden will not want our listeners to understand, and I think this is part of what I call the signs of the times that we're seeing take place, chaos and confusion on a national, international level. But I believe Joe Biden will not be the ultimate Democratic candidate facing off in November of 2024. I still say that the Dems are going to remove Kamala Harris. They will put someone in appointed as vice president. Then they'll remove Joe Biden on the basis that he's cognitively not able to do so. In fact, most do not know, Greg, that right now about 57% of the Democrats do not want Joe Biden as the candidate. 57%.
But the deep state does. You know, let me disagree with you, and here's the reason. I've got a proof text. It's called Weekend at Bernie's. You ever seen that movie?
No. I mean,
they propped this guy up through the 2020 election. Did he ever show his face and actually, you know, stand any sort of scrutiny? No. Neither he nor his family have sustained any real scrutiny, at least not since his plagiarism charge back in his college days. You know, they've not sustained any real scrutiny because he's had the levers of power have been at his disposal for decades. When he walked out of a skiff with secure documents years ago as a senator, did he pay a price for that? When his son doing drugs unlawfully filled out his form for buying a firearm, did he face any? When he received a 3.5-carat diamond or $1.2 billion to go into BHR Capital, did anybody? No scrutiny. There's no scrutiny on this man. They will prop him up and carry him over the finish line because a puppet, a person that's just on the edge of death, that person's easy to control, easy to manipulate. Joe Biden, I mean, if you ask him personally, he'd probably say, "I'm in control." Mm-hmm. Reality is the boy is a puppet.
Absolutely.
He is a sock puppet for the leftist, like your what's her name, former Secretary of State under Obama. She is a sock puppet.
Rice.
There you go. Sock puppet for people like that. Mm-hmm. That's what he really is.
I'm looking at a headline that says poll. Now even the Democrats want Biden to step down for the 2024 election. looking at another headline says Republicans charge Biden with intentional destruction of America. I just made a little punch list, Greg, that if Joe Biden goes back in as president, Biden will make America an absolute modern Sodom and Gomorrah with the transsexual movement. He will have the free reins for the next 4 years to simply, by executive order, destroy America's morals, ethics, and values. He will have abortion on demand, even up to and the moment of delivery. There will be no more America if Joe Biden goes into office. We already have somewhere between 12 and 15 million illegals that's come in. So what should our focus be for Christians, conservatives, and patriots, thinking about where we are in America, what's happening with Joe Biden being the candidate? What do you respond to, and what do you say?
Well, the Bible says perilous times shall come. That's 2 Timothy 3 text. I think you've been through it a few times. Mm-hmm. We're here, folks. We're in perilous times. And I want you to remember, as a believer, faith, actionable faith, is faith that saves. We need to be ready. We need to be watchful as that Mark, I forget what portion. I think Mark 23? Yeah, 13. There's only like 13 or 14 chapters there. Watch and wait. Be ready for his return.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU